Chapter 5. A Famous Doctor. The next day, Millie and Kate went to see Sir Luke. His rooms were in Cavendish Square, an area where many of London's best doctors worked. While Millie talked to Sir Luke, Kate waited for her in a separate room. Unfortunately, Millie was only able to see Sir Luke for about 10 minutes. But in that short time, she was impressed by him, and she felt lighter and happier. Sir Luke asked her to come back and see him in a day or two. After Sir Luke had left, Millie went to find Kate.
"What happened?" asked Kate. "Did Sir Luke tell you that you're ill?"
"He didn't have enough time today to find out what's wrong with me," said Millie. "So he told me to come back later this week.
Thank you for coming with me, but I can come here alone next time. But please, don't tell anyone else about this."
"You ask for a lot, dear Millie. But what do you give?" Kate said.
"Oh," said Millie in great surprise. But she continued to smile.
"I see."
"Don't worry," said Kate. "I won't tell anyone. But when you find out how you are, please promise to tell me the truth."
After 2 days, Millie went back to see Sir Luke. She had told Mrs. Stringham that she was going shopping. After Sir Luke had talked to Millie for a long time, he gave her some very bad news. He had discovered that the beautiful young American girl had a serious illness. Millie had known that she was ill, but not that it was so serious. However, she liked and trusted Sir Luke very much, and she felt that he wanted to help her and cared about her. Sir Luke asked her lots of questions, not only about her illness, but also her life.
"Don't you have any relatives at all?" he asked. "No parents or sister, not even a cousin or an aunt?"
"No," said Millie. "I'm the only one of my family left. The rest all died at different times. I don't have many friends either. My dearest friend is the lady I came to England with, Mrs. Stringham."
"I'd very much like to meet Mrs. Stringham," said Sir Luke. "I'd like to talk to her about you. I'll send you some medicine, then I'll visit you at your hotel after a couple of days."
"That's fine," said Millie. "You can talk to her then. But what do you advise me to do?"
"Do just as you like," said Sir Luke. "You've experienced some sad times in the past, so now you should be happy and enjoy your life as much as you can. There's only one thing that is important. You must leave London as soon as possible. The air in the city is extremely bad for you. You should go somewhere else in England, or to Europe."
"We were planning to leave England soon anyway," Millie told him. Then she asked, "I'd like to walk back to my hotel. Would that be all right?"
"Yes, of course," replied Sir Luke. "Walking is good exercise."
Millie walked through the streets of London, thinking about what Sir Luke had told her. Sometimes she got lost in the narrow streets, full of dirty children and men selling fruit and vegetables. The children stared at the American lady, hurrying past in her expensive clothes. Millie realized that her friends did not know where she was, but she was not afraid. Instead, she felt excited. This was the first time she had been out in London by herself,
and she was enjoying the feeling of adventure. At last, she came to Regent's Park, where she and Kate had often driven in their carriage. She was feeling quite tired, so she sat down on a seat in the park and thought for a long time. Sir Luke had not given her much hope about her future, but she did not feel worried or afraid. She liked him, and she knew that he liked her. She felt sure that he would do his best for her.
"Sir Luke will be a very good friend to me," she thought.
That evening, just before dinner, Millie heard the sound of a carriage. She looked out of the window, down into the street below, and saw Kate arriving at the hotel. She waved to her, and Kate waved back. A few minutes later, Kate hurried into Millie's room, looking very worried.
"What happened this morning?" she asked. "What did Sir Luke say?" "Please don't worry," replied Millie. "Everything's fine."
"Really?" said Kate.
"So there's nothing wrong with you?"
"Nothing to worry about," said Millie. "He said I can enjoy myself and do what I like."
"That's wonderful," said Kate. "Will you stay in London?"
"Oh, no," Millie said. "Sir Luke said I should leave London and travel. He said I should have fun."
She smiled at her friend.
"And you, dear Kate, must help me. All I've ever wanted, from the first time I saw you, is to help you," said Kate. "But you're so lucky that you don't need help."
2 days later, Kate and Mrs. Lauder came to dinner with Millie and Mrs. Stringham at their hotel. The ladies had planned to go to a party after dinner, but it was very hot and Millie was feeling tired. So she decided to stay in the hotel, and Kate stayed with her. When Mrs. Stringham went to her room to get ready for the party, Kate went onto the balcony and watched the people in the street. While Kate was out of the room, Mrs. Lauder took the opportunity for a private conversation with Millie.
"Susan told me that you met Merton Densher in America," she said, speaking quietly so that Kate could not hear. "Could you please ask Kate if he's back in England now?"
"That's a bit difficult," replied Millie. "I've never mentioned Merton Densher to Kate, and she's never mentioned him to me. She doesn't even know that I've met him. Can't you ask her yourself?"
"I never talk about him with Kate," said Mrs. Lauder. "I don't approve of the way she treats him. He's in love with her, but she isn't interested in him. I like him, don't you?"
Millie did not want to answer Mrs. Lauder's question, but she smiled.
"I met him in New York 3 times, and I liked him too," she said. "I'll try to find out, but tell me, has Mr. Densher written to Kate while he's been in New York?"
Mrs. Lauder said that she did not know.
"But if he has written to her, he may know that I'm in London too," said Millie.
"Certainly," said Mrs. Lauder.
"If Mr. Densher has come back to London," said Millie, "he will probably try to visit me too. So then we'll all know that he's here."
Just then, Mrs. Stringham returned, and she and Mrs. Lauder left to go to the party. Kate came in from the balcony and started talking to Millie about Lord Mark. She seemed to be in a very strange mood.
"Aunt Maud wants me to marry Lord Mark," she said.
But he hasn't asked me to marry him yet.
Perhaps he needs more time, said Millie, smiling.
No, said Kate. Since you arrived, he's become interested in you.
Oh, no, said Millie. But I won't get in the way of your aunt's plans for you and Lord Mark. I don't want to marry him. I don't want to be a problem for your aunt. She's been very kind to me, and I'm grateful.
Aunt Maud should be grateful to you, said Kate. Her face was red. You can help us a lot, but we don't help you very much. My advice is to leave us while you can. We haven't done anything for you, so you don't need to do anything for us. Mrs. Stringham brought you here and introduced you to everyone, and she's very pleased with herself. But you don't have to be grateful to her friends.
Millie tried to smile, but inside she felt a little frightened.
But Susan is the reason we're friends, she said.
I know, said Kate, but although you like me now, perhaps one day you'll hate me.
Millie was confused.
Why are you saying these strange things? She asked.
Kate looked at Millie with a soft, bright light in her eyes.
Because you really don't understand what's going on, she replied quietly. You're like a dove, a gentle, innocent dove.
She kissed Millie's cheek very softly. She wanted Millie to feel like a queen or princess, not her friend.
If Kate thinks I'm like a dove, then perhaps other people do too, Millie thought.
Perhaps she should use this to help herself. Just then, Mrs. Lauder and Mrs. Stringham returned. Millie knew that Mrs. Lauder was going to ask her again about Densher. So while Kate was talking to Mrs. Stringham, Millie told her,
I don't think, dear lady, that he's here.
And she smiled, as innocent as a dove.